standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all and all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on promises of God. Amen. Let's go over to, I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair this evening. Amen. Kid G. G. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour and waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling. Brother Jonas, could you come up? A heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen.
Offering
in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Maybe see, turn 38. I am thine, O Lord, draw me near. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. E flat. E flat. I am thine. Go to the chorus. Let's go to the chorus. Oh, and I feel thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms above and the closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with the steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Of the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, I commune with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I could not know till I crossed that narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Sister Anna, you'll come up. Precious bleeding side. Sister Anna.
Bless you.
Amen.
We're saying, I've got so much to thank him for.
Amen.
And I'm sure we all have a lot to thank him for.
Amen.
No matter how bad things look, we still thank the Lord for everything.
Amen.
Yes. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he has brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And when I look around and see the good things he has done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all, but his blessing him I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he has brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Stop and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And then one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he has brought me from, I got so much to thank him for.
Same. We'll change over service this evening. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you.
Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. I'm sorry. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And amen. Appreciate the Lord and all of his goodness to us.
Amen.
And I think we may be in the key F. I'm not exactly sure. Let me see. No, we'll try not to do that tonight. Somebody, if I tried to play the banjo, somebody might get up and say, is there no beginning to that man's talent? Amen. But I was thinking, listening to Brother Terrence this evening, and I want to sing this song tonight for Sister Audrey. I haven't sung this song yet, and Sister Audrey wants me to sing "Beautiful Star of Bethlehem" every year, so I didn't sing it at Watch Not, and then I led singing, and I didn't sing it after that, and so Brother Terrence was saying we ought to do something, try to, you know, encourage them and cheer them up. So maybe this will be a blessing to her tonight. So I think it's in the key of F. I'm not sure. We'll try it and see.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of day, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Into that land of perfect day. That light keeps growing greater and greater and brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll look into the scripture this evening. Amen. The world is groping in darkness. But he gave us light to see. Amen. He is that light. Okay. Well, all right. Well, God bless you. Did you say Sharon? Sister Sharon? And Brother Joe and all the other ones? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless y'all and all the other ones that are watching in tonight. We just, you certainly stay in our hearts and our minds and our prayers.
Amen.
And so we just want you to know that we think about you and we pray for you.
Amen.
And I think about all the other ones, Sister Johnny and all the other ones that are not able to be with us, Sister Anna Kennard and the different ones and certainly the ones that have Sister Barbara and with COVID and all the other ones and certainly want to continue to remember them. And when he comes in like a flood, he said he'd raise up a standard against him. So, amen. We've got the devil's answer. The devil comes at us, but you know, and I have a few requests here also. I just want to mention, I posted on WhatsApp, a friend of ours, Richard and Janine and I, we went to school with, a good friend of ours named Matt Fulbright, and his grandson, Zion, is 4 years old and he has leukemia. And so I just want y'all to remember him. And then one of our teachers, when we went to the Christian school, Vicky Jarman and her husband, Dwayne, so they're probably around, I guess, 60. They had a terrible, terrible car accident. And Dwayne is he's a pastor of I think it's a Methodist church, I'm not sure, but it broke his neck in two places. It shattered Vicky's arm, and it severed his ear, and just, you wouldn't believe all the, I mean, it was just like a whole litany of problems that they are having to face, and all kinds of internal injuries, broken pelvis, just a whole long list of injuries, and it was just the grace of God that they survived. Well, bless her heart. But certainly remember that. Our Pam and Shane Coffey, they've been here. They're kind of like our adopted sister and lives in North Carolina. And Pam's mother-in-law, she's been sick for a while. What's her name?
Carol.
My mind just went blank. But y'all just remember her. We just want to remember them. And a good friend of mine that I work with, his name's Eddie Whiting, and the family has went through COVID, or COVID's went through them, and they really had a hard time. And his dad was 81, and he just passed. And so y'all just remember that family because they've had a lot to deal with. And I texted him and told him that I just want to put him on the prayer list. That everybody continue to remember them because they'll be able to shake all that because that's just kind of like the prayer request that Terrence was talking about having COVID and the flu just continues to run. So we just commit it all to the Lord. We know that he's the great physician, takes care of all these things. So amen. So let's just all bow our heads and then we're going to look into the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and we're going to begin with 26 verse. Very familiar scripture, but something that the Lord just kind of laid on my heart. So let's just all speak to the author. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house again. Father, Lord, that we can gather. Lord, you said wherever the eagles are, the carcass is there, Lord, and the eagles will be gathered together. Father, Lord, we know that, Lord, you've brought us by your grace to this word, this end time message, Lord. Lord, you've opened our eyes to see these things, Lord. And Lord, where would we be without grace? And Father, we're just so thankful for what you've done for us, Lord. And Father, we just pray tonight, Lord, you just open our eyes, Lord, open our ears. Lord, anoint us, Lord, to speak. Lord, we just want you to have the preeminence tonight, Lord. We want you to, Lord, to, that we can say something to encourage, Lord, to strengthen, Lord. Lord, just whatever is needed, Lord, that we can speak and just be a willing vessel. And Father, for each prayer request that's been mentioned, Lord, Lord, the ones that have been spoken, Lord, each hand that's been raised in this building, Lord, the list just continues to grow sometimes, or we just can't remember everybody. But Lord, we know that you're mindful, Lord. You know every need. Lord, you already had an answer before we even called. But Lord, you said that for us to ask, that our joy might be full. Lord, we've seen you come on the scene so many times when it looked like there was no way. And Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've ever done it once, Lord, we know that you'll do it again. So we commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, we just pray for the bride around the world, Lord, the ministers, Lord, the ones that are laboring. We thank you, Brother Luis and Sister Christine and the girls, Lord. Lord, just continue to watch over them and bless them until you bring them home. And Father, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to begin at verse 26. And just titled this, Called to Stand Alone. And I was talking to got to speak to Brother Boyd's Sunday school class Sunday, and kind of some things come to me, and just want to speak on that. Verse 26 says, And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I done now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Amen. So God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And I was speaking to the young people in the Sunday school class, and I was talking about where, you know, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. And, you know, I was talking about David. David had a real encouraging report. But, you know, David had an experience. David had a relationship. David had, he had a walk with God. He knew who he was. And so when he went out there, David had a testimony. And you know, and we go back into the scripture here, and many people have read this scripture and many people have preached on it, but I just love the types and all the things that are in this whole chapter. And you know, I was talking Sunday, the Sunday school class, you know, you see how, you know, the Philistines had gathered on one side of this valley on the mountain, and Israel had come out, and they had set everything in array, and they looked like they were ready to fight. Because they had everything. I mean, they played the part. I mean, they done the part because they come out and they brought everything and set everything in order, just like they were going to battle. But as soon as Goliath come out there, nobody wanted to fight him. But he had come and made his boast before them. And here they come down into this valley and set everything up, and everybody was so afraid of what they had seen in front of it. And and how all of this great massive army had come, but they had just had one person, and Goliath was the only one that come and boasted and challenged them. And so, you start to see how this all plays out. And, I was reading on this, and what was so interesting was I was reading on this, and the next thing you know, I was listening to Brother Branham, and he started talking about the same thing. And I was listening to a part of a sermon from another brother, and he was preaching on the same thing. And it was like, well, I think that may be what the Lord wants me to talk about tonight, because it just seemed like everywhere I turned, it was covering the same thing. This is from the Message, Jehovah Jireh, 1964. And Brother Branham says, now just take a look at yourself in God's mirror and just see if you can identify yourself tonight. If you had been living in the days of Noah, in the time of the flood, what side would you be identified with? If you was living in the days of Moses, what side would you have been on? If you had lived in the days of Christ when all the churches was against him, he had to stand alone out there and the things he did. Only thing was, God was with him. That's the only thing. Even all of his disciples nearly walked away from him. But what side, just your present state now, what side would you be on? What side would you be on right now when you see him again right amongst us? And I tell you, that does something for me. Because, sometimes we fail to realize that God is amongst us. God is with us. God is in us. But he said, what side would you be on? But because God has called us to stand for the word. And you have to stand, and sometimes you have to stand by yourself. And he said, now he is here, and he can turn on the light in your heart. Just fill your life with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, how many of you here with heads bowed and hearts, you pray for me? So how many, and because if you don't have that peace, if you don't have that deep settled peace, if you're not in that place, then you know what? It's time today is the day of salvation. Today is get to that place. But let me tell you, if you have a question in your heart, if you've got a challenge, if you're facing something tonight, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And it just struck me because when you began to see this man in this situation, and the part of this story, because we know all the things that had went through, and we know that the greatest man that Israel had at the time was Saul, and Saul was a head and shoulders above everybody else, and he should have been in a great position to fight this man and everything, but Brother Bram said he was a coward. But what struck me is, here's this man, this little boy, that had a testimony, that had known, and you know what? It wasn't what nobody else knew what David had been through. Nobody else had known what kind of experience he had, but you know what? David knew where he was standing. David knew what his experience was. I know where I'm standing. Because when they went out there and when he heard, Brother Branham said the worst mistake Goliath ever done was say that in front of David. Right. Why? Because David knew who he was, and David knew because God had done something for David. Amen. And we know that David had been called and had been anointed king when everybody else had overlooked him. Well, when he come to the place, when Samuel had come to Jesse's house to anoint a king, the last one and almost forgotten about was the man after God's own heart. The least in the whole family. The least in the whole king, in his whole father's house. But he was the one that God called. Why? Because God knew what kind of man David was. And he began to, you know, and then he began to go and he began to, no doubt David had known the word and he had a relationship with God because he saw God. And God saw what kind of man he was and what kind of man he would be. And then when he began to walk in these things and, you know, standing on the backside of the desert doing other jobs that probably nobody else wanted to do because he was the youngest. But you know what? He had time to fellowship with God. He had time to look at nature and see all these things and have a relationship with God and for God to speak to him. And you know, so if he just had a little bit of just these few sheep to take care of in the backside of the wilderness, you know what? God was able to use that to mold his character, to mold him through experience into the place that he ought to be. And so many times we look at situations in our lives and we wonder why things happen the way they do. Well, lots of times we don't appreciate the things that take place, the way things happen in our lives. You know, I always like this. When you think about the children of Israel, when they went out to battle, and here they are standing on the mountaintops. But you know, Brother Branham said, you know, everybody loves to have a mountaintop experience. Amen. But he said, real growth takes place in the valley. Right. And he said, you know, that's where David ended up. David had to go through the valley. Amen. He had to be in the valley because that's where the battle took place. Amen. You can have your mountaintops and stand up there and everything look great. Yeah. But you know what? Nobody got anything done up there. But you know, he was out there in the backside of the desert. Probably nobody knew where he was at or really cared. But you know what? He was having fellowship with God. When the lion came and the bear came, well, you know what? He knew how to fight. Why? Because because his testimony was, it wasn't in his ability to do that. Let me tell you what, I mean, when you look at those things, because I tell you what, as big as I am, you know what, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I tell you what, there's a lot of guns that I own that I wouldn't want to be holding and trying to shoot one of them. Because, you know, when he said he had a hold of that lion, he said, I had him by the head. He had him by the mane when he slew him. That's a little bit too close for comfort for me. But, you know, he said, God laid them in his hand. So when he came forth, he said, God put that bear in my hands. Now, you know, everybody talks about the wonderful Davy Crockett. And everybody talks about Davy Crockett killing a bear when he was only 3. Well, you know what? That's folklore and hearsay and fantasy. But you know what? Let me tell you, I can take you to the scripture where a young boy had a bear put in his hands and he got slain. But you know, everybody can sing about everything else, about everything, but they don't know anything about David. Brother Branham said, you know, everybody knows about Matt Dillon and Davy Crockett and all the rest of them, but they don't know who was in the scripture. But you know, we can see somebody that God took a young boy that was ruddy looking, and he wasn't the most, maybe not the most educated, wasn't the best looking, wasn't the tallest. But you know, he didn't have a whole lot going for him, but he had one thing. He knew who God was and God knew who he was. He had a relationship with God. And then all of a sudden when it came time that he was watching over those few sheep, yet he had an experience with God that he knew that when those animals came in and they were only doing what they were called to do. A bear is only going to kill lambs and they're going to kill sheep. Why? Because that's their nature. And the bear's the same way. They come in, they're going to do the same thing. But you know what? They were put in David's hands and David slew both of them. And then, you know, then when he began to speak to these people, when he began to speak to the children of Israel, when Goliath came in the camp and he began to speak to them and challenge them, that, listen, I need somebody to come and fight me. We don't all have to fight. And he said, that's the way the devil is. When he thinks he's got the situation the way he wants it. He's going to come out and he's going to boast and he's going to brag and he's going to lay this challenge out there. But see, that's the way, Brother Bram said, that's the way Satan is. He likes to lay that challenge out there, and everything looks the same. Everything looks that so well for him. And yeah, and it done exactly what he wanted it to do. He wanted them to be afraid. He wanted them to fear what was going to take place. And it starts at the very top. At the very top of this whole situation was Saul, and Saul was a coward. Well, you know what? When he was a coward, then you know what? It just creates cowards. When you have leadership that doesn't have a backbone, then you know what? Then the church doesn't have a backbone either. Well, you know, because you see, when you have a preacher that will compromise, when you have a leader that will compromise, then you know what? Then everything else falls apart. Why? Because that's the reason why it's so important for us as laity, that it's our job to support the fivefold ministry. It's our job to uphold the pastor. Why? Because it's his job to shepherd, but he's got to lead. But you know what? We've got to get behind him. We've got to be able to support him and lift him up. Why? Because he's got a job to do. Why? Because you've got to get behind him, but you've got to find a pastor that's God called and has a vision of what's supposed to take place and has a way to go and knows what's going to take place. And when you have that, but see, Saul didn't have that. Brother Branham said Saul had a lot of theology on how to fight, but he never had an experience. So he had a lot of ideas, had a lot of thoughts, but when it came to put it in practice, he never done any of it. So he had to go find one little boy that was still wet behind the ears, so to speak, but he had an experience and he had something that he could draw on and tell those people about. But he went out there and when he heard Goliath speak, when he heard Goliath calling out and challenging them, well, you know what? That was just more than David can handle. David said, oh no. He said, is there not a cause? And it's like, why is it that every God called soldier in this army is just standing here looking at this guy? Why is it? Because every one of you have been called into this army. You have been equipped to be, and that's the reason he said, why is he that he has defied the armies of the living God? Why? Because he knew what, I mean, this is the battle. It never was Israel's battle. It never was Israel's battle. God never called them. He said it's always, when they followed his plan, it was always the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And so when he called them into this battle, he's like, why is it that y'all cannot raise up and fight this man? Why? Because when it just fear breeds fear. And uncertainty and doubt breeds uncertainty and doubt. But you know what? He wasn't in that camp. He was not under that headship, so to speak. Why? Because he had his own experience. And so when he went down there to see that, he was so fired up, so to speak, you know, because, I mean, something kindled inside of David when he heard those challenges. And then he began to speak and he's like, is there not a cause? He said, you know, he wanted to know more about it. You know, what's going to take place if somebody can defeat this man? No doubt there had to be some sort of, after this challenge was made, no doubt somebody had to offer, you know, Saul had to offer him something. You know what I mean? You know, so if you're not motivated by the word, something's got to motivate you. But you know, none of that's, hey, there wasn't enough money in the kingdom going to get some of them to go out there and fight Goliath. But that didn't matter to David. David knew who was on his side. It wasn't because when David realized that he had made those challenges to the living God, it wasn't just the army, it was to the living God. Amen. He had defied God. He had challenged God.
Right.
And so when they came forth, you know, he's like, nobody's going to raise up. But you know, his brother comes out there and tells him, Eliab comes out and, you know, it's like, well, you're only here because, you know, you're just naughty. You know, you're just playing hooky and you're just mischievous. And, you know, you're not doing what you ought to be because you ought to be down there taking care of them sheep that dad told you to take care of. And you don't need to be down here. And he's like, well, you know, my dad sent me down here with gifts and to check on y'all.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, you know, he didn't see that. No. You're just down here because it's all your pride. It's all about you. No, it wasn't about David. David realized it was all about God.
Amen.
It's all about serving God.
Amen.
It's all about standing for the Word.
Amen.
That's what it was all about. But nobody saw that. But then here comes David trying to talk to him. Is there not a cause? Is there not any reason why to rise up and fight? Is there nothing inside of you that's kindled by what this man says? No. No, we're standing over here. We're waiting on King Saul. We're waiting on to see what this other one does or this one does. Well, you know what? You don't have to wait on to see what everybody else does.
Right.
You know, people come to church and they won't clap their hands, but they're going to wait to see if somebody else claps their hands.
Yeah.
Or wait for, if somebody else stands up. You know, if somebody else does, you know, it's like, you know, you have, you know, bless his heart, sometimes wait and I'm guilty too. But you know, lots of times, if I'm trying to think and I'm writing stuff down, sometimes I don't say amen, but I try to say amen. But you know, there's lots of times people don't say amen. It's like, you know, it's like, but I mean, you know, the other night when the ball game was going on, you know, let me tell you, when the ball game was going on, there's a lot of folks that got excited. And there's a lot of people that got upset. But you know what? People weren't just sitting there looking at the screen. There's a lot of people sat on the edge of their seat. Why? Because there was something that excited them. Why? Because it was something that stirred something up inside of them. But when the devil comes against your family, when the devil comes against your house, when the devil comes against your health, when the devil comes in, and then you're just going to say, well, I'm just going to take a seat back. No. No, David was like, no. Let me tell you something. Because David realized, you know what? I'm the hands that God has. These are God's hands. And these are God's feet. Why? Because I've been anointed for something.
Man. That's right.
And you know, so if I've been anointed, God's called me to this, then you know what? I'm gonna take up for God.
Amen.
Why? Because God has done something for me.
That's right. Absolutely, brother. Amen.
And so when he came out there and he began to speak to all of them, and nobody would agree with him.
Yeah.
And a whole crowd, a whole army, all these people are all standing around. And not just soldiers, but all the support people that were with him, with the army, all of those people that were there, and he couldn't find a single person that would agree with him. Oh, no. Mm-mm, not us. No. Why? Everybody had to get out there and they were all showing that they had a yellow streak a half a mile long. Oh, no. We're not getting involved in this. But you know what? He was so adamant in what he believed and what God had showed him and the experience that he had been through. He was so adamant about it that you know what? Everybody was started listening to David and they finally went and told Saul, we got this crazy kid in the camp. And he's down here thinking he's going to whip this fella. And then, you know, then all of a sudden they said, well, Saul wanted to meet this guy. And he's like, well, don't let everybody, get all upset and their hearts fail. Don't worry about everybody fearing and everything. Don't worry about it because you know what? I'll take care of it. And, listen. You can't do this, David. Now that has to be a very hard position to be in. When you're standing, and because God has called us, and God calls us, and what puts us in hard positions and hard times to see how you're going to stand, how you're going to react. But you stand there like David. David standing there, and he was the only one that's going to stand up for what the Word said. No. David, listen. You're just a little boy. You got a lot of growing up to do. But this fella out here, he's just massive. Just huge. I mean, look how big he is. And like, you got no chance against this guy. I mean, look, David, how big this guy is. It's like, well, that didn't faze David. Because when he began to look at these things, he was just like when Elisha was standing there on the mountain and he was speaking to Gehazi. He stood there and said, I'm not worried about the army that's gathered all around me. He said, why? Because there's more with us than there are with them. Amen. Amen. Hey, Gehazi's standing there going, who's he talking to? Then he said, Lord, open this boy's eyes. And then he realized there's a whole mountain full. The heaven, the host, the angels, everybody, the army, it was all gathered around them. Elisha knew he didn't have to fight this battle. The battle was the Lord's. He knew where he was standing. So when David walked out there, David knew where he was standing. David knew what God had called him to do. And so when he walked out there and he stood there and he said, listen, I know you think that I'm wet behind the ears and I can't do anything, but let me tell you something. I know where I'm standing. I know what I've been through. I know what I come from. I know what every step of the way. Let me tell you something, King Saul. I was there on the backside of the desert, and there wasn't nobody else. It was me and his sheep. But let me tell you something. The Spirit of the Lord came down. It's just like, riding in a pickup truck, and the angel of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord comes into the truck with you, and then all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know what? I ain't by myself anymore. It's just like sitting on a loading dock or laying on a loading dock somewhere, and all of a sudden, you know what? You realize you ain't by yourself anymore. Wherever you at, when you're out in the, like Brother Luis was out there in the water, and all of a sudden, he was getting rolled out there, and he called out, and all of a sudden, something come up behind him and pushed him back up on the shore. All of a sudden, you realize, hey, I'm not alone. Sometimes we fail to realize what's around us, what's inside of us. He said, the angels of the Lord encamp about those that fear him. So he didn't realize, David knew who he was and he knew where he was standing. And he began to tell Saul, he said, listen, King Saul. He said, when I was on the backside of the desert, and he said, I know this lion came in, and the lion no doubt was bigger than he was. But you know what? He said, the Lord laid him in my hand and I slew him. And he said, I was still out there praising the Lord and just living on the backside of the desert all by myself. And he said, and the bear came. And you know what? I didn't worry about the bear. Right. Why? Because I knew who I was and I knew who my Lord was. And he laid him in my hand and I slew him, and that was it. Amen. And he said, let me tell you, he said, the same one that came and met me when I slew the bear and when I slew the lion, he said, the same one. Amen. He said, those were only following the natural elements of the world, right, what their desire, what they were created for. Right. But let me tell you something. This one, he's defied God. And now, all I got to do is stand. I'm going to stand for him. And I'm just going to stand in the way, and then he's going to come, because all I got to do is be willing. And he said, the same one that slew the lion and slew the bear, he said he's going to slay this uncircumcised Philistine. But you know, and all that was said and done, and all the things that came about, and all of that, you know what? Saul wasn't happy with that. Saul couldn't go along with that. You know, this didn't satisfy him. He's like, no, listen, David, what we got to do, we got to get you equipped. We got to get you set up in the right place. We got to follow the right thing because there's a certain pattern that you got to follow. And let me tell you, Saul, I got to put on you what I got. Listen, I got a sword and I got a helmet and I got a shield. I got a breastplate. Now I got to give you all this. I'm going to show you how all this works. And you know what, David told him? None of this fits on me. And you know, it wasn't a physical thing that set on David. Now it was. But no doubt David walked there and said, listen, King Saul, I respect you and all that you've done. But let me tell you something. You've had a spear and a sword and a helmet and a breastplate and all this other stuff. And you know what it's got you? Nothing. You know what? You had all that stuff to lay on you and you're nothing but a coward. You got everybody around here shaking and fearing and everything else. Everybody's in a whole turmoil and you got all this stuff and you want to lay this on me? No thanks. I don't need it. And why? Because everybody wants to give you the same thing. Why? Because if the doctor wants to come and, hey, listen, I want to lay this on you because I'm going to tell you all about this. Because, you know, you got heart disease and you got diabetes and you got high blood pressure and you got kidney failure and you got all these other problems that come along with it and you got acid reflux and everything else. Now let me lay this on you about how this thing works. Let me tell you, because we got big pharma out here, we gotta help you with this stuff because we gotta get you some pills. And we gotta get you some pills to get you up in the morning, get you some pills to go to bed at night. And everybody, you gotta have this and you gotta have that and you gotta have this and there's all, whatever you're going on in your life, you gotta have a pill for. And next thing, you gotta come back every 30 days. Walk in the room, stand with the doctor so he can look at you for 5 minutes, talk to you, send you a bill and walk back out of the room and hadn't done anything for you. Write you a little piece of paper and hand it to you and say, here, go fill that and take them. But it's the same thing. No. God never laid that on us. David walked out there and said, listen, I ain't never proved any of this. I ain't never fought anything, never had to fight a battle where I had to carry your sword and your shield and your helmet. I never had to deal with any of that. But let me tell you what God has done for me. God equipped me with a little slingshot. And I have proved this. And I know this works. Amen. And Brother Branham said, this little slingshot is deadly. Yeah. I know what this thing will do. Amen. So you know what? He just shook all that other stuff off and told him, he said, you can keep it. Because you know what? I've seen what it does, what the end result of all of that is. Right. But I tell you what the end result of what I got. Amen. I know what the end result of this will do. Why? Because I've overcome. Amen. I've had an experience of an overcoming. So that's what I'm going to hold on to. I'm not going to hold on to any of your ideas. I'm not going to hold on to any of the things that you've got. Why? Because people want to come and play church and all these things, but you know what? It never gets them anywhere. But what we need to have an old fashioned Acts 2 experience where we know where we stand and know who God is and actually know that we are standing on the Word. What God has called us to do. Because you know, many times people want to sing, I'm one of them. But you know, the thing is it comes a time not just to be singing or saying it, but it comes time to prove it. It comes time that you've got to stand and prove who you are. And David come out there and there he was standing there and he began to prove who he was. He's like, no. And so Saul finally just told David, listen, you go about your own business. You do that. Why? Because he had to shake all that off.
Sure he did.
And many times, you know, that's the way it has to be. You got to stand out there all by, not only have to argue with Peter, not argue, but you know, you got to state your case just like David did. He let everybody know where he was at. But no doubt everybody stood there, watched David as he walked out there. This boy's getting it. This is just going to be bad. And it's just like, you know, everybody talks about, you know, watching a car wreck. You know it's going to be bad, but you can't take your eyes off of it. But you know what? It didn't faze David. It didn't faze him at all. Because he knew who he was, and he knew what God had called him to. So when he began to walk out there, you know, he didn't have to worry about it. He knew where he was standing. So he just went on about his business to do the thing that God called him to do. Brother Brown was speaking, and he's talking about, you know, we've got to come to a place, and you know, we see that he was talking about people being full of the fighting theology and all these things. But you know, you got to come to a place where you got to put God to the test. And you know, and he began to talk about these things, and he said, you know, he said there has to be a need, there has to be a crisis in your life. You've got to come to a place where you meet God and you show God who you are and where you're standing.
Amen.
Just like David did. And Brother Brown said, he said, if there ever was a crisis, it's now.
Amen.
Why? Because now's the time. Why? Because the devil's on the rampage.
Amen.
We see all these things that are coming about.
Yep.
Yeah. But see, now's the time that you prove who God is. And you know, and a lot of people they get tired and they get weary, and you know people get, you know, they begin to almost like lose their faith, and you know they begin to, you know, just get run down with things, and you know, and the thing is, and now's the time, and all the times that you have, that you're facing all these things, now's the time to put God to the test. And take God at His word.
Amen.
And put God to the test and show that He'll come on the scene.
Amen.
Because, you know, many times, you know, Brother Ed speaking and talking about people coming in the prayer lines. You know, he said, you know, people come in and they don't even come in the right mental attitude to come into the prayer line.
Right.
And he said, born again Christian people will come in. He said they'll miss their healing.
Yep.
But he said, you get some prostitute off the street can come in and get healed.
Yep.
Why? Because she knows how to approach God.
Yep.
And then when people come in and they're standing there and you know, Brother Brandon began to, under discernment, he began to speak to these people and he was standing there and he said, you didn't realize that you had that much faith.
Right.
And he began to call them out and tell them, said, you were just praying. Lord, speak. Have that man speak to me. But he said, you didn't realize you had that much faith. And lots of times he'd tell people, he'd just call them by name and tell them, said, you know, you're already healed. It's already left you. Well, but see, they're out there praying for something to take place. And then Brother Branham begins to identify to them, hey, you know, you're already healed. It's already gone. It's already left you. And they don't even realize that they're free. There's been a change there. They don't even realize that until Brother Brandon begins to speak on that. But see, all these things, Brother Brandon began to speak about all these things and, you know, all the things that has taken place. And, I just want to read a couple of quotes here. And this is from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is number three, brothers. And he says, in this time, Jesus had done great things in these early days in his early ministry. He was misunderstood as most everyone. So, you know, there's going to be times when you're misunderstood. He said, did you ever come to think of it that most men who ever do anything great for the kingdom of God stand alone? Did you ever think of it? You have to stand by yourself. Jesus stood alone. And all down through the ages, other men who stood alone. Finney, Sankey, Calvin, Knox, and even Abraham Lincoln, that's right, stood alone. Men who do great things, men of vision, men of spiritual understanding stand alone. He said, I think that's because that Jesus had to stand alone himself. He said, now the principle of us being here, trying to help you. And the only way that I know, Christian friends, to help you is to get your faith the best that I can by the word of God, centered on the will of God for you. See, if you can only see that it's God's will to do these things for you. It's God's will to save you. To save you all. It's God's will to heal you all. And he will certainly lead you into deeper depths and higher heights if you'll just trust him. He said, don't be satisfied with your fire built here from last night. Let's build it a little farther up the road tonight. Never build it in the same place. You can't stand still. He said, you're either backsliding or you're going forward. So when he began to speak, if we're going to do great things for God, then you know what? We've got to be moving on. And we've got to, and many times you're going to be standing alone. And God has called us to a place to stand alone. But God has a place for you. And I love that where he said, I want you to get your face centered on what the will of God is for you. Amen. That's the best thing that somebody can do is show you what the will of God is for your life. Amen. And many times it's we can speak the word, but it takes God to speak to you to put you where you need to be. Amen. To answer your specific question. Amen. Now I can't just call somebody's name and tell them what they have need of, but I can tell you what, I can stand here tonight and be a vessel that God can speak through to speak to you. And whatever you have need of will speak to whatever your situation is. Why? Because there's many times that somebody, they'll be preaching on something that's totally different than what, but God will speak to me in a way. Why? Because the Spirit moves. And the veil's broke, and all of a sudden something takes place, and even when he reveals his word, it'll be totally off of the subject of what they're preaching on. Right. But something will be quickened by that. Amen. The Lord will speak to you and give you what you have need of. Right. And so when we come to the house of God and we gather and we listen, then it's not just, the devil wants to stand in your way. The devil wants to try to hinder you in all and every aspect of that. Right, but we see, Brother Branham was speaking here. This is from the message, the ever-present water from the rock. And this is number four. And Brother Branham says, he said, you see many times people thinks that a prophetic gift that God just says, I'll pick you up right here and set you down here. Now, you just go right over here and he doesn't tell you all those things. If he did, then what overcoming faith did you have? He lets you stand alone more than anybody else. See, you all can come to me and ask for certain things. And he's never failed yet, but what he gives you the answer. That's right, yeah. I can go ask him for things for myself, and many times he just leaves me alone. See? Just let me go ahead and walk into it. I have things now that I have to solve out myself and decisions I have to make. And this is such a vital one, till I cannot exactly make it until I'm sure that it's him speaking to me. And he won't give me a vision. He just lets me alone. So I'm just sitting as an orphan like this morning. I don't know which way to turn. So I have committed it to the Lord. So when you think of this prophetic gift that Brother Branham had, it wasn't for him. Because when they had the car accident, and when he was laying there the testimony has been that, he couldn't pray for himself. Well, Billy Paul got to him, but you know what? He could reach back through the window and he said, give me mama's hand. And he got a hold of Sister Mita's hand and he could pray for her. Yeah. But it wasn't for him. Right. No. And when he came, it wasn't for him. Why? Because if the Lord just told him to be a zombie, right. and just walk this way and walk that way. You know, just like people think, you know, predestination. You know, you don't have any control. You don't have any say. Predestination the other day. It's like, you know, it's so funny. It's like, all of a sudden your legs start moving and you start walking. It's like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just walking this way, you know. Then your arms start moving. It's like, what is it? I don't know. But that's how people look at it. It's like, you know, I'm being led of the Lord. It's like, well, I don't even think, you know, I just get up and move. No. He knows what your desire is. He knows the things that you're going to do. And that works into his perfect plan. So, you know, it's not like, you know, we're just, he's a puppet master and he's just moving all the strings and we're just going right along with it. No, God has a choice for you to make. So if I have a desire and if I have, then God knows what desire I was, you know, and the decisions I would make. He would know the mistakes I made. And you know what? He would know that ahead of time. So you know what? None of that ever took him by surprise. So I when all of these things that he knew what was going to take place in the end. He knew the beginning from the end, so he knew how all of it would take place. So then there is an overcoming. And so many times, you know, when you walk with God, you know, he leaves you just like Brother Ram said, it's just like an orphan. He puts you in places that you're going to decide whether you're going to, what you're going to do, and he's going to see what you'll do. See, just like Job, he knew who Job was because he spoke to Satan and told him, said, have you considered my servant Job? He knew what kind of person Job was, but he wanted to show Job who he was.
Yeah, right.
All the way through the scripture, everybody, you'll see so many, as Brother Brown said, all these people are standing alone. I was listening, and Brother Ray was speaking. I was listening, and he was speaking on Daniel. You know, and Daniel being out there, you know, Daniel knew that when they made the decree that he couldn't pray to his God.
Yep.
You know, it didn't stop Daniel.
Yep.
Brother Ray said that Daniel went right then and went and got in the window and opened it up and prayed just like he did every other time.
Right.
Why? Because he wasn't afraid of what the men's law said. And you know what? He identified quickly. He went right on the wrist right that second. He wanted them to know where I was standing.
Right.
Well, you know what? You tell me I can't pray to my God. Well, guess what? I'll show you.
Right.
I'm not changing for you or anybody else. Why? Because I know who's the living God.
Amen.
I know who God is and I know what he's capable of.
Amen.
And what he's done for me.
Yes.
And I know that y'all are only doing this to get back at me. To try to hinder me because they didn't like Daniel. It's always, you always got those ones that everybody's got to be jealous of somebody else. Why? Because that, but that's Satan's plan. I mean, that's one of the most terrible things that you see. People get so eat up with jealousy of one another and it's just like they talk about, you know, carrying grudges and having jealousy and all these type things. You know, it's just like they say, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're trying to get back at somebody by carrying a grudge. You know, I told that story years ago about that teacher that had all those kids and she wanted to teach them a lesson. So she had a bunch of potatoes and a bunch of sacks. And she took them out there and she told them, said, listen, I want y'all to write down every grievance that you have. Every grudge, every problem, everything that you got against somebody, everything that you, the resentment, whatever you got. She said, I want you to write it on a potato and put it in a sack. And she said, I want you to carry them sacks around with you. Day in, day out, sleep with them. Everywhere you go, when you come to school, you better have them. So you know what? They started carrying them potatoes around all the time. Well, you know what? After a while, them potatoes started rotting.
Yeah.
But you know what? She still made them carry them potatoes. And then all of a sudden, not only that, you know, here they go and they start to sink. And next thing you know, they start to stop. Those drips start coming out of them bags.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here they are toting them sacks around. Everywhere they go, come to school. Can you imagine the school room and everybody setting them things down and whoo. But you know what? It taught them a lesson, because she said, see, that's what happens when you carry down grudges. When you're carrying this resentment and you don't get rid of it. Why? Because you said you saw how much you hated carrying these sacks around, and you how much nasty mess they are, and the smell and all that. And it's the same way with you carrying a grudge. Why? Because it's something that's going to stand in your way, that's going to hinder you from going on with God, and you're growing and everything else, because, you know, and nobody wants to be around you. If somebody come around carrying a sack of rotten potatoes, how many people want to come up to them? It's like, you can stand right over there and then take a step back. We don't want to, it's the same way. But you know what? If you can get in the Spirit of God, you know, if you become under that, the Spirit of God, and because you can be born again and still carry a grudge, and you can be born again and still be, you know, still make your life miserable. You make everybody else miserable too. But you know what? You can be an overcomer and have a sweet disposition about you. Where people just can't wait to get around you. But you know, that's your choice. What kind of life you're going to live. What kind of fruits you're going to produce. That's totally up to you, but you have to make that decision. So, we see when all these things were coming, you know, when David, when he went out there, you know, he went down into that valley to fight Goliath. And everybody else was watching him to see what he's going to do. And he walks out there. And he walks down into that valley, down to that creek, that little stream, and he gets those rocks up. And here he comes, you know, carrying those rocks, puts them in his bag, and he goes out there. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, Goliath becomes incredulous. That this is all you're going to send me? I've been doing this for 40 days. Day and night I've been coming out here calling for somebody, and y'all going to send me this little shrimp. You're going to send me this little twerp out here, and that's all you're going to send me? And he's like, you know, I'm just going to stick you on the end of my spear, and I'm going to stick you up and feed you to the birds. You know, he was like, he just couldn't believe that you set all this army in array, you've done all this, and this is the best you got, this is all you're going to do? And no doubt, Goliath, every time he come out there and he looked at him, you know, he saw the fear in their eyes. Because, you know, that just fed his ego. Oh. Just kept going. And all of a sudden, when he came out there, David was like, listen, I want to tell you something. You come at me, and you're fine. Military armor and all this stuff, and your spear and your sword and all this kind of stuff, and I'm tired of listening to your mouth, but I've heard it all, but let me tell you something. You come with at me and all your training and all that kind of stuff, but I've got somebody I'm going to tell you about. I'm coming in the name of the Lord, of the God of Israel. And this is His army, and I'm coming in His stead. And I am anointed of God. And I'm going to stand before you, and I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I've heard you talk, but that's the last time you're going to be talking. Because I want you to know something. Today I'm going to take your head off. And then, you know, all this is going to be over with right soon. And you know, and Goliath, you know, he was just beside himself with what was going to take place. That he couldn't believe this little guy was telling him this. But you know, David went out there and he had to pick that stone up and put in that sling. And you know what? He didn't worry about where he was slinging it. You know, because with everything that was within me, it didn't matter where David slung that rock. All he had to do was throw it. That's all he had to do, was put it in there and sling that thing around and sling it. Why? Because the Lord took a hold of that rock and put it exactly where it needed to go. And it didn't matter if he threw it backwards or straight up in the air. It would have ended up exactly where God wanted it to end up. But I'm sure David went out there and slung that thing around, and he let it go. Why? Because there was something that had stirred up inside of him. And no doubt he probably got his arm all wound up, and he was really doing something. He come out there and he slung that rock out. He let it go. And it went exactly where it was supposed to go. And all of a sudden, Goliath's standing there, and they, you know, what kind of deal do you think when you're 9 foot tall, 10 foot tall, however tall he was, you know, this great big massive man, and you see this guy will come out there slinging a rock at you. I got a helmet that's an inch thick. And you're thinking about all the things that goes through his mind about, you know, what, all this stuff that he's standing there thinking about. And then all of a sudden, the last thing that goes through Goliath's mind is David's rock. But I mean, he stood there. But you know what? David done exactly what he said he was going to do. Why? Because he knew who he was. And then when he went out there, he done exactly what he was going to do. And then all of a sudden, then he went out there and he pulled his Goliath's sword. And he cut his head off. Amen. And then all of a sudden, when he raised Goliath's head up, and he stood there and he stood on back of Goliath's back, and he stood and showed everybody, here's your champion. Here's the man that gives you all of your faith. He gives you all your strength and everything. Here he is. Oh yeah, as long as Goliath was out there, you know, it was like, I can handle this. Then all of a sudden, when Goliath is dead, then all of a sudden it changes.
That's right.
Then everybody gets their running shoes on and they can't run fast enough. Then all of a sudden, when this takes place, then all of a sudden, then you see that the army of Israel's like, did I just see what I thought I saw? Then all of a sudden they begin to get faith and rise up. And next thing you know, they start chasing the Philistines. And they go to war. And they begin to chase them. And they chased and they killed them. They kept chasing them until they destroyed them. And so it's the same way. God just needs one person. And it may be, you know, because we want, you know, if a church is going to fail, if a church is going to succeed, then it takes the body together. And you know, many times we say, well, you know, it's going to be Brother Wade, or it's going to be Brother Bob, or whatever. No, it may be you.
Man, right.
It may be me.
Right,
you know, maybe the reason why we hadn't got to the place that we need to be is because each one of us has not received, got to the place where we need to be.
Amen.
When we come, we all have a part to play. You know, there's no big I's and little U's, but each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us has a job that we're called to do. And if it's good, and if we're going to be successful, if the church is going to be successful, then it takes everybody.
Amen.
We don't, you know, because they, well, you know, I'm just insignificant. Well, you know what? There's a lot of insignificant parts in the body. And you know, and Paul said, you know, even the uncomely parts, you know, every part has a function. And you know, because you know, nobody wants to do without one little part.
Right.
Because you know, you think about just little tiny things. I mean, you know, even if you get something as small as a splinter.
Oh yeah.
You get a splinter in your finger. And you know, and you know, it just festers, and man, you just mess with that thing, and oh my goodness, and how many of you ever had a paper cut?
Yeah.
You don't know you have a paper cut till you get something in it, and all of a sudden you feel like you're going to go through the roof.
Yeah, exactly right.
You work in chemicals and stuff, and you have alcohol and different things. You hit it, and then it'll stop your whole body. And it's just, and you think, well, you know, that's insignificant. Well, you know what? It all plays a part.
Amen.
And we all have that little part to play.
Amen.
But God called us to do this, to fulfill the part that God called us to.
Amen.
Whatever it is God called you to do.
Amen.
Then that's what we, be faithful in what God has called you to.
Amen.
God called us into this body. And you know, and Jesus had to walk alone, and all the rest of them, and you will too.
Sure, that's right.
But you know, the thing is many times you look back in times and all through the scripture, and that's what God wanted. He wanted one person to believe him. When you have one person to believe and believe the impossible, God has called you to the impossible. Because, you know, when you realize where you came from, before the back part of God's mind, before there was ever anything,
amen,
you were a part of Him.
Amen.
When you look back before there was anything, God saw you as an overcomer.
Amen. That's right.
And if we come down here and we wonder if God's going to bless us, we wonder if God's going to heal us, if God's going to save our children. When we realize where we came from and what God, and God called us to. And then God called you to believe the impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
When you think of Mary, when Mary went out there, and that was Mary, she was standing out there, and in all the times that she had heard the priests talk about a virgin shall conceive, the great prophet Isaiah speaking of the great things that's going to take place, that we're going to receive a Messiah. Why? Because it was spoken of in the scripture. All the way from Genesis, all the way through, each one of them began to speak of what was going to take place. And when they began to see these things that was going to take place, and then they hear all these things, and then, you know, everybody's, well, wonder when it's going to take place. When is it going to take place? But you know what? It came a time when the angel came to Mary. And you know, Mary didn't fit the mold for the one that the Messiah was going to come to. But you know what? She fit the mold for what God wanted her to do. That she was going to bring forth the Son. That she was going to fulfill that word. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Brother Branham said, you know, he said the bride is just like he was. That Christ, he came. And he was stood alone, rejected of men. But you know what? The bride is the same way. The bride is called. But you know what? God called you. God called you to this day, to this hour, to this age, to be an overcomer in this age. He knew where you was going to be standing and knew what you was going to overcome. That you were going to stand and know what kind of battles you were going to face. But you know what? He made a way for you to overcome. He's already sent His word, and He said He sent His word, and He healed them and He delivered them from their destruction. He made you an overcomer. He made you more than an overcomer. And He brought you into this age to be an overcomer. To fulfill the word of God. Why? Because He saw in the mind of God what would take place. Why? Because you're going to stand alone. But Brother Bram said the bride would stand on the word. She would stand alone on the word. She's called to stand. She's called to speak. It's her job. Why? Because God has called us to this hour. It's our job to stand and speak. Why? Because He came and spoke, and He said the things that I do. When He began to speak, He said the things that I do shall you do also.
Amen.
And then, you know what? It wasn't just speaking to the fivefold ministry. He just wasn't speaking to the pastors. But the thing that He done, what did He do? He began to walk in the Word that He saw of Himself. When He began to look into the Word and He began to proclaim the Word. When He began to see and open up the scriptures and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Why? Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to do these things. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God has done in this day. He's anointed the bride to overcome, to fulfill the word, to stand, to declare the word to this age. That like He said, this Eve would stand and declare to the world that she won't fall like the last one did. The first one, when she stood there and compromised on the word. This Eve is not going to do that. Brothers and sisters, that's telling us that we won't compromise on the word. That we won't fall. But God called us to that place. Many times we say, we can have the devil stand on our shoulders and talk into our ear till we just get tired of it. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God give us an answer. Then, brothers and sisters, we got to stand up and take it and believe it. I don't have to listen to the devil's rotten lies. I don't have to put up with him. Why? Because, you know, just like Jesus, he took by the word and he began to speak and he said, it is written. Yep. And he tells Satan to get behind me.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I.
Amen.
Sometimes you think you're standing all alone and it's like, well, you know, there ain't nobody here but me. Brother Branham said, when you think you're all alone, you know what? The Lord's there. It's you and God.
That's right.
He said, well, on this journey, he said, there's no extra room. It's just you and God.
Right.
And you've got to make that determination for yourself.
Right.
I've got to make that decision for myself whether I'm going to walk in it and be an overcomer. If I'm going to overcome, if I'm going to walk in what God has called me to. I don't have, you know, because if I just sit down and think of myself of being what God called me to be, you know what? I would just absolutely, just like that Abraham, I'd laugh. Because if you're not supposed to look at yourself. You're supposed to look at the Word. The Word is spoke. Let's see what the Word says about us. Just like David, when he stood out there, he walked out there and stood and knew who he was. Let's know who we are. God has called us to tell you who you are, to speak to you, to let us know. You're the beloved. To realize who the apple of his eye. To know what God has done for you and brought you to this place. And you know, and all the time, all your journey, all the things that God's done for you. And then he's like, well, you get to the end. He's like, well, you know, I'm going to leave you on your own.
No.
Right.
No. God will be with you.
That's right.
Let's all stand. Have the musicians come. God has called you to a place.
Amen.
Yeah, God puts us in places that we don't like to be. Hard battles and trials and stuff, but you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Every time you have a trial, a battle, a temptation, whatever comes your way, he said he's going to make a way.
Yes,
he is. he has a way made for you to get through.
Amen.
Many times we don't know which way we're supposed to go, what the answer is.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm going to put my trust in him.
Amen.
I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know what's going to take place.
Amen.
You know, many times, like Brother Brown said, you see things happen, you're misunderstood, you don't understand yourself, but he understands.
Amen.
He understands.
Amen.
I'm so glad that somebody that cares and understands.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
360 in spiral. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion. Running to and fro.
Heavenly Father, you know what our brother's request
seeking
is for these
whom
prayer calls,
he
Lord.
Made
and Lord, we agree
the
with
Bible
him.
Tells
Lord, whatever
so.
The need is, Lord, we know that you'll come on the scene
many
and meet it.
Souls
Lord, you'll take care of
us.
And Lord, we know it's a finished work.
Hour,
and we just thank you for it because we know
but
it's
God
complete.
Has promised
in the name of Jesus
us
Christ.
Today
Amen.
His overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
A couple prayer calls.
Heavenly Father, Lord, you've heard our brother's request, Lord. We send these prayer cloths to Brother Howe, Sister Audrey, Lord. Lord, we know that you'll come on the scene and meet each need. Lord, we just thank you for it because we know it's complete in you. And Lord, we just ask and then we commit it to you and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. That is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes.
Turn over. Thank
you. I always like to hear Brother Aaron. Amen. God bless you. Let's remember that this weekend, as Brother Terrence said, if it starts getting bad Saturday, just call our Brother Bob and Brother Joe. He's watching in online with Sister Sharon. They're in the room there in the hospital watching in. He's got the little iPad sitting there, and Sharon's watching it from the bed, and they're both there. So we'll coordinate back and forth, but they're calling for 5 to 8 inches on Sunday. But we don't have to take them demons, do we?
Nope.
Right. Man, we need rain, but we don't need snow. But just be careful and be alert. We're still going to leaving tonight about 3 o'clock in the morning, going to Illinois, and then Brother will be at Brother Heights on Sunday. They're supposed to only get about 3 inches, so just pray that we'll get back home. We're coming back in on Monday. It's a holiday, so most of you won't have to go to work. We have one of our holidays. So God bless you. Thank you for everything you've done, everything that you're doing, the work of the Lord that's being done. Remember, pray for next Saturday. Now, Wednesday, I'll be preaching Wednesday. So next Saturday, Brother Darrell Ward will be here. We're going to start about 3 o'clock with our youth service, just like we did before and always done. And then Brother Darrell will be with us next Sunday. He'll be with us one service. All right. Give everybody time to fellowship. We got some people coming in from different places to be in the fellowship, to be in the youth service. Just keep people in your prayers. You need to get with, some of you need to text or call or WhatsApp with Sister June and figure out what we're going to do. I think we're going to do soup and maybe some chili and cold sandwiches for that day. So you need to get with her, and we've always done it before, but get together and put your shoulder to the wheel, and we'll get this thing done. Amen. So you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Again, that was good, Brother Aaron.
Amen.
Good job. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us on the way home, Lord. If there is weather that comes, Lord, we pray that you'd make it a calm time, Lord, that we'll be able to get where we need to go and get back, Father. We pray, Lord, that you will do, as Brother Aaron said, you'll come on the scene, that you'll be with us, and you'll take care of us, Lord. We pray that you'll go there to the hospital room, Lord, and Sister Sharon, Lord, and you'll touch her body, Lord. That you'll raise her up for your honor and glory, Lord. Things look impossible, but that's when you work. Thank you, Lord. The devil don't like impossible, but you like impossible. You thrive on impossible, Lord. When we say this is not possible, you say, oh, all things are possible to him that believeth. So we believe with each one, Lord, all the ones, even the ones with COVID and different things that they have, sicknesses and flus and some in the hospital, Lord, some at home. We pray, Father, that you'd be with each one. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. That we come back together, Lord, as one in you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Brother Ryan, you'll be doing Sunday school if you do have church, and Brother Bob will be doing both services, okay? God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.
The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world, Lord, but you will be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you have found the Lord. Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you ever knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul.